So today I want to talk to you on pulling up tent pegs, which is actually a sequel. I had a sermon about a year ago that I called up pulling up tent pegs. And somebody in the congregation had asked for that sermon, and I couldn't find it because I wasn't looking for it under this title. And then I just happened to think about this, and I think this is the one that they were asking for, part one. And so I felt led to preach part two, or the sequel today. We could also call this message, "The God Who Led You In and Out Will Lead You Along." So let's stand, please. Here's God's word this morning. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 23. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 23. "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you crossed over." We could call that the sequel. "As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, when he dried it up before us until we crossed over." That was the original parting of the sea, or the prequel. "So the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we crossed over." And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. You may be seated. So according to the book of Exodus, the ancient Israelites were enslaved in Egypt until Moses led them out by the power of God through the parted Red Sea. And as I said, I preached on this about a year ago. If you're interested in that, you can sign up in the back, of course, or you can search YouTube under Richard Mannon and just type in pulling up tent pegs. And we talked about how there are times when you have to pull up your own tent pegs and move on and trust God. Now, given us a choice, there are two paths to take, two trails through our trials. There's one that leads to gold, and we ended up gold coins, maybe that gold coins, chocolate candy. But we gave out gold coins to help you remember the message, and I know some of you took them, and you said you were going through a trial. Well, here's the sequel to that. I wonder how you're doing as you came through that trial. I hope that your path led to gold. Now, one leads to gold and the other to spiritual bankruptcy. So it's important that we take the right path. And if you want to take the right path, you have to stay in God's word and you have to trust him. Amen. And you have to move forward as you follow him. So this Memorial Day weekend, a lot of people will go camping and they'll be pulling up tent pegs. And I know that that is not the purpose for this holiday. That's not the purpose at all. And as I said, I'm so grateful for those who have served our country. And words cannot express how I feel about those who gave their lives and paid the ultimate sacrifice. And my heart goes out to those that are suffering the loss of a loved one in any way. But many have lost their lives in service for us, service to our country. And so we are honored today to be able to remember them. Also, Memorial Day has now become a time when we remember loved ones who have passed on. A lot of people will visit graves tomorrow and put flowers there. And so there are a lot of things to remember as we go through this weekend. And I don't mean to make light of any of those things, but it's also realized that this is the start of camping season for some people, and they're going to be pulling up these tent tags, tent pegs, I'll get it yet. So Exodus 14, verses 13 through 15 was our text from last time. It says, "But Moses said to the people, 'Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall never see again. The Lord shall fight for you while you hold your peace.' The Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry out to me? Speak to the children of Israel so that they go forward.'" Here God tells Moses to stop praying and to move forward. Stop crying out to me. Move forward. In other words, trust me. And the best metaphor I can give you for trusting God is to pull up your tent pegs. Because the Hebrew word for go forward literally means, or figuratively means, to pull up your tent pegs. It means to trust in Him. It means to pull up your tent pegs and go forward for God. And the children of Israel did that, and they marched across the desert toward the land that God had promised them. They paused at Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, 10 important rules. Unfortunately, the Israelites broke those Ten Commandments before the ink was dry, so to speak. And their grumbling and their complaining and their moral failure and their unbelief, it stalled their progress, and God condemned them to 40 years of wilderness wanderings, 40 years of going around in circle. 4 decades passed, and then Moses is aged and spent. He climbs Mount Nebo, and he dies. Moses' aide, Joshua, took over. God's appointed leader to conduct the Israelites out of the wilderness and into the promised land. It was a thrilling operation. But before they could enter the land, they first had to cross the Jordan River, which was at flood stage to make things even more complicated. And so God is going to match an impossible thing. He's going to part the sea, or the waters, once again. He parted the waters there and the Jordan, just as he did when he split the Red Sea a generation earlier. So think of this. The travels of the Israelites were bookended by parting waters. And after the Red Sea, the same God who led them into the sea and out of the sea took care of them during their wilderness wanderings. And so 40 years later, they're there at the Jordan River. And the same God who led them into the sea and out of the sea was now willing to lead them along to their next phase of national life, to lead them into the promised land. So that's why I said we could call this message Pulling Up Tent Pegs the sequel. Because once again, they are commanded to pull up those tent pegs. Once again, they are commanded to move forward. In the previous message, I mentioned 10 things that the Israelites learned through that Red Sea crossing. And as you have experienced a crisis in your life, here's the 10 things that God wanted you or wants you to learn if you're going through a crisis right now. Realize that God means for you to be where you are. Secondly, be concerned for God's glory more so than your own relief. Acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Pray. Stay calm and confident, and give God time to work. When unsure, take the next logical step by faith. And as you do that, envision God's enveloping presence. Number 8 is to trust God to deliver in His own unique way. Number 9, view your current crisis as a faith builder for the future. And number 10, don't forget to praise Him. Now, perhaps you have survived your own Red Sea experience. When the enemy was strong, the danger was great, your fear was deep, God helped you through that time, didn't He? I'm sure all of us, if we took time for testimonies today, we could say that we have all experienced trials, but God was faithful during those trials, and He helped us through it. He made a way when there seemed to be no way. And now what He's telling us, church, is that it's time to move forward. It's time to pull up the tent pegs and move forward. And we move forward to all the promises that God has given us. The promised land of a rewarding future. The psalmist said in Psalm 16 and verse 5, Lord, You are my portion and my cup of blessing. You hold my future. I want you to understand this. The same Lord who holds your future holds you now. Amen. The same Lord, the same God, the same sovereign who holds your future holds you now. Don't be hostage to the past. Never get stuck in the desert. Yes, there is past experiences that are good and bad. You can learn a lot of things in the desert. You discover a lot of grace there. You can develop maturity there. But I want you to understand that all of that is equipping you for something more. Everything so far in your life, including the Red Sea moments of crisis, is simply his preparation for stronger days ahead. The story of what happened at the Jordan River is filled with significance for us. You know, Moses, representing the law, is dead. But Joshua, whose name from Hebrew to English is Jesus, is ready to do what Moses could not do, and that is lead his people into the promised land. That's to say to you and I today that Jesus himself is ready to lead you to a rewarding future. Whatever your age, whatever your past, whatever your scars, Jesus still has a rewarding future for you laying ahead. I love what Joshua chapter 6 and verse 7 says. Move forward. Just move forward. Just pull up those pegs and move forward. This is Memorial Day weekend. And all the day, as we said, is for remembering fallen soldiers. We remember the loved ones that passed away. Perhaps you have a loved one that has passed away and you are having trouble moving on. I'm not trying to make light of that. I know it's difficult. But I believe that God's word this morning is we need to move forward. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's difficult. I'm not saying there won't be grief. But God doesn't want you stuck in the desert. God says, I have a rewarding future for you, perhaps even more rewarding than anything in your life to this point. But you have to move forward. There's a time to get on with the rest of your life because what lies ahead could be the best of your life. Break out of the wilderness circuit. Cross that swollen Jordan to your promised future. You have an adventure that waits ahead of you. The same God who led you in the trial can lead you out of the trial and will lead you on. God means for you to move forward. Now, after the death of Moses, the scripture says, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. So now get up and cross over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land that I am giving to the children of Israel. I have given you every place that the sole of your foot shall tread. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the Mediterranean Sea, toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not abandon you. I will not leave you. So, I have three simple points to the message this morning. Because this passage provides three truths about God's guidance. Number one, he leads us in stages. Number two, he leads us in steps. And number three, he leads us in person. So let's look at each one of those. First of all, he leads us in stages. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, the book of Joshua is about the victory of faith and the glory that comes to God when his people trust and obey. And the idea of stages is introduced earlier in the book of Numbers, which Moses wrote near the end of the Israelites' years of wandering. In Numbers chapter 33, verses 1 and 2, it says, these were the stages of the Israelites' journey when they went out of the land of Egypt. At the Lord's command, Moses wrote down the starting point for the stages of their journey. These are the stages listed by their starting points. How many times did we mention the word stages there? Were you counting? Three times. Three times we are told that God led the Israelites in stages. And when we turn the page to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, they're entering another stage, one that brought mourning and momentum. The Lord told the Israelites of the death of Moses, the only leader they had ever known. But here's the thing, new stages in life often involve mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. But they also involve mourning. M-O-R-N-I-N-G. They represent new days in our lives. Psalm 84, verses 5 through 7 says, "Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on a pilgrimage. They go from strength to strength." Now, my life has passed through a series of stages, and so has yours. I need you to understand that life on this earth is a pilgrimage. Don't ever lose the pilgrim mentality. Don't become too much at home in this world, because then we try to hang too tightly upon the things of this world. We have something better for us beyond this world. There's a city and maker who is God himself that is awaiting our presence someday. And if we hang on too tightly to things, we lose the ability to grasp new things that God has for us. And I believe this, that the Lord will give you strength for every stage. As the number of your days is, so will his strength be to you. Everything is under his control, and it's orchestrated in his timing. And perhaps you are on the border of a new stage in life. Maybe it's a graduation, maybe a wedding, maybe a divorce, maybe a birth, a death, a new job, an illness, a recovery, a new home, a move, a breakup, a new relationship, church or ministry change, inside a church or out. But there's a change of some sort in your life. Many transitions are stressful, and they can bring with it mixed emotions. And it's all right. It's all right to feel sad. It's all right to have grief. It's all right to be confused, but it's also all right to find peace and relief. Turn yourself around and head in a positive direction. Don't get stuck in a negative mood or hopeless inertia. Here's what I want you to say this. Would you say this with me today? I am not a has-been, I am a will-be. One again, say it again. I am not a has-been, I am a will-be. The Apostle Paul said it this way, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way." What we need to do is prepare for what God is preparing for us. Your next stage in life is God-planned. The one who made the way through the wilderness also knows the way into the promised land. God moves and directs us through stages. Number two, God leads us in steps. Joshua 1:3, "I have given you every place, every step where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses." So life unfolds in stages, but we have to take certain steps. As a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm convinced that God has an agenda for my life. I'm convinced that there's a plan and that there's a purpose and that God isn't done with me yet. And I would say, if you're here today, God is not done with you yet either. God still has a plan for you. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 139 and verse 16, "All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." And so when Moses led the Israelites out of bondage, and then Joshua assumed control at the banks of the Jordan River, the Lord said to them, "I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised." See, the only way of moving forward, this is really profound, the only way of moving forward is to take the next step, right? It's so obvious, so simple, If you want to move forward, you have to take another step. You don't have to take a bunch of steps, but you have to take at least one step. Could I encourage you, as you take that step would land on a promise? That step would land on a promise from God's word. One of the promises is that he would be with you every step of the way. Trust God who ordains each step. But you can never claim Joshua 1:3. You can never claim the conquered ground by standing still. You have to go forward along the pathway of God's promises. Now, I know that that's not always easy. But that's where faith comes in. And that's where trust comes in. You just trust God to take the next step, believing that that step is going to land on a promise of his. My grandfather was a mighty man of God. Some of you heard me tell of his miraculous conversion. But I look back at the steps that God ordained for him to take even before he was a Christian. He already had a heart of gold, and God used that to show that he was God, was really alive, and he was real. One Saturday afternoon, my grandmother sent my grandfather to the grocery store for some groceries. And while he's at the grocery store picking up some groceries, he thought, you know, I'm going to grab some groceries for the pastor's family, and I'm going to take them over to them. And when he got to the parsonage and he stood outside the door, he heard the pastor's wife and the children praying for food. Sorry. So my grandfather went back to the car. He got all the groceries that he had planned to take home for his family, and he gave them to the pastor's family. And when he got home, my grandmother was not happy. Because these are the days when stores weren't open on Sunday. And they didn't have any food in the house. They didn't even have any milk for the children. And my grandmother said, what are we going to do? Now, I love this. Here's my unsaved grandfather having more faith than my saved grandmother. Don't you hate that when that happens? But the great thing is that church people invited them over. People brought over milk and eggs and the staples of life, or food for life. And they did not lack anything. They didn't go without. But it was during that process that my grandfather realized that God is real. That God is alive and he's working today. And he was building his faith. You know, God leads us step by step. Even before you were a Christian, I would say God was leading you to a place where you could accept him and receive him as your Savior. God leads us in step by steps. Looking back on this story, I've learned that it teaches that God plans our days. And whether I'm preaching or mowing the lawn or doing dishes, yeah, I do dishes. Sometimes my wife has to do them over again, but I try. The important thing is fulfilling what God has called us to do for that day. But see, you can't be led by God if you're not in his word. And so that's why I believe Psalm 119 and verse 105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Remember we used to sing this song, O God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. O God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you'll lead me. And I will follow you all of my days. Walk by faith, step by step, into the promised land of God's goodwill for your life. Put your foot down. Make sure that you step on a promise. But take the next step. You know, I've learned in life, sometimes the steps lead us what we think is the wrong direction. Or sometimes God tells us to stop, pause, don't take the next step too quickly. But sometimes God leads us in a way that we think is the wrong direction. And here is the picture on, your left, my right. Here's a picture of Joshua and Caleb. These are the only two guys of the 12 spies that were sent out that said, we can go in and we can possess the land. They said, we can do it. But 10 gave a negative report, said, we can't do it. And so they were paused there. They were unable to move forward because of the lack of faith of the 10. In fact, it looked like at that time that this vision was a lost vision, that they were not going to be able to go in and possess the promised land. There are giants in the land. Who are we to stand up against these giants? Here in the middle is Joseph. Joseph has this dream. He's going to become ruler in Egypt. He's going to have all these people bowing down to him. What happens? Every step that Joseph took seemed to go backwards. Until one day, one giant step forward led him to the fulfillment of the dream that God had given him. And then the picture on the other end is Jesus on the cross. The disciples had grand plans for Jesus. We're going to restore the kingdom to us. And then Jesus is put to death. And there's the death of their vision. It seemed like they were going the wrong direction. But then Joshua is able to lead the children of Israel into the promised land successfully. And then Joseph, he's second in command in Egypt. Only Pharaoh is higher than him. And then there's Jesus, who rose from the dead. See, every step leads us somewhere. Every step is really a step that God has ordained, and even the steps that we think are taking us the wrong direction are actually allowing us to move forward. We don't always understand the way God works, but he does. Some of you would know the story of our church. I'm not going to go into it a lot today. I would just to say this, that we experienced the death of a vision. We had outgrown our other facilities. We went and we picked out this particular piece of property. We said if we want to build a church, this is the property that we want. And then we found out that the person who owned this property would never sell it. Said he would never sell it. He wouldn't sell it to us. We began to look at other property. We just felt it wasn't right. We experienced the death of a vision. Until one day, God miraculously gave this property to us. I want to encourage you today, as you're moving forward in God, even if it seems like you're going backward, you're still moving forward. And here's the third thing, God leads us in person. God leads us in stages, he leads us in steps, and he leads us in person. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you, Joshua 1:5. Whenever you enter a new phase, your heavenly Father watches over you, and he shows up in person to lead you. Dr. Gregory Boyd wrote, I've become absolutely convinced that remaining aware of God's presence is the single most important task in the life of every follower of Jesus. Let that sink in. Reminding ourselves that God's presence is always with us. If you're walking with God, you have the Holy Spirit within you, don't you not? That should make a big difference in our lives. God's promise that he will never leave us or forsake us is a very special promise. It's remarkable because there's a combination of verbs where it says, I will never leave you or abandon you. That occurs several times in Scripture. It's not put there just once, but several times. You'll find this phrase in Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 and 8. It, again, in Joshua chapter 5, or 1 and verse 5, David quotes it in 1 Chronicles 28:20, and he turns it into a prayer in Psalm 27:9. And then the writer of Hebrews snatches it from the pages of the Old Testament, and he puts it this way. He says, be satisfied or be content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. In the Greek text of Hebrews, the word leave is preceded by a double negative. It says, never, never will I leave you. And the word forsake or abandon is preceded by three negatives. Never, never, never will I abandon you or forsake you. The Greek construction there of Hebrews 13:5, it's reflected in the final stanza of an old hymn. We don't sing too much anymore, but it's called How Firm a Foundation. Anybody remember that hymn? There is a verse 6 that is never sung. Well, I shouldn't say never. I can't, but hardly ever. I don't remember singing it much. But the verse goes like this. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. So why on earth then are you and I insecure about anything in our lives? Yeah, we have rivers to cross. We have challenges to face. We have problems to confront. We have giants to fight. But we have promises to claim as well. Why should we be afraid? Why should we be discouraged? We have the repeated promises from God, and the final repetition of it is underlined by doubles and triplets of grace. I will not. I will not. I will not. God leads us in stages. God leads us in steps. And God leads us in person. God enabled the Israelites to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. 12 stones were set up as a memorial of God's deliverance. And I believe that memorials are important. I've had the privilege of visiting many memorials at our nation's capital. They're there so that we don't forget the history of our nation. Joshua set up stones as a memorial for the people so that they would not forget the crossing of the Jordan River, so that they would not forget their God. They would not forget his goodness and his power. And we must not forget either. God has a purpose for our life, and we must not forget his grace and his power in bringing that purpose about. These stones behind me, they remind me of Jesus who died on that cross. Those stones remind me that God has a purpose for this church, that God didn't just give us this church and say, here, go after it. Nobody remind me that we have a calling to preach the gospel in this church, that our life needs to be centered around the cross. Because really the only thing that is important is the cross of Christ, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus himself, who sacrificed his life for us. And we have the responsibility to carry that message and that good news outside the walls of this church, as well as inside the walls to this church. Remind yourself of the promises of Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and do not be afraid to take the next step. Do not be afraid. Whatever comes or whatever may be, your Heavenly Father is watching over you, and he is leading you in stages. He's leading you in your steps. And the only thing that really makes any of that possible is knowing that he leads us by his presence. I will never, never, never abandon or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Pull up your tent pegs and move forward, following the Lord as he leads you. Have your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Maybe you're here today and you're still at the Red Sea. There's a crisis in your life. And you're in the middle of that crisis right now. Our Lord wants to open and part the waters of that Red Sea. He wants to go with you as you cross through this crisis. And he will be there with you. He doesn't always deliver us, but he's always there with us. And he'll see you through. Would you pull up the tent peg and say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. You are trustworthy. And I will follow you through the sea. I'll follow you in the crisis. Maybe you've already gone through a crisis. And now you're standing at another water, another river. And God is saying to you, will you trust me once again to move forward? Will you trust me now to take you into the promised land of blessing? I can promise you that in the promised land, every step you take will be a step of victory. It might not always seem like it, but the end result is that it will be for victory. It'll be for your good and for my glory. Will you pull up that tent peg once again? And will you move forward with God? I'm just going to leave that there. I'm just going to pray for you. Father, today, I can say we are either going through a crisis or we've come out of a crisis or we're heading toward another one. But Lord, I know that you will never abandon us. And I know that you lead us in stages and you ordain our steps. Give us the faith to take that step. Give us a promise to land on. Lord, as we follow you today. Lord, I ask that you would do things in our lives just to show that you are God, like you did with my grandfather, and that you are alive, and yet you are working. But today, Lord, we just take that next step of faith and say we trust you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've asked Pat and Sheila to come. And guess what song I want to sing? How Firm a Foundation. And we dug that last verse out. I think Pat never sang it before. So maybe you never have either. This is one of these songs that's so old it's new. All right? So let's stand and see if we can sing a couple of verses of How Firm a Foundation.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said? I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should evade to the sake, I'll
give yourself a hand and give God the praise. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time today. Thank you, Lord, for these people that have shared part of the Memorial Day weekend with us. We pray for those that are not with us today but are part of our body. Watch over them, protect them, keep everybody safe through the heavy traffic if they are traveling. Lord, and once again, thank you for our soldiers. Lord, bless them and their families, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.